This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the evening edition with Lynn and Hezril, and we have a question. I mean, are you confident when it comes to your grasp of financial knowledge? And if not, would you want to improve and learn more? We're asking this because here at the station, we bang on very often about financial literacy, but it's become even more of a buzzword and I think even more pressing during the pandemic.
Yeah, so we've all been encouraged to get a better hold, right, of our finances, to prepare for the unexpected, right? Plan for rainy days, learn how to navigate loan moratoriums and EPF withdrawals, you know, it goes on.
Yeah, but having said that, a 2018 survey from AKPK found that actually a third of Malaysians are uncomfortable with their level of financial knowledge, and 53% find it hard to raise 1,000 ringgit for emergencies, which is an alarming number, I think, if you consider how much it costs to, say, replace tyres. That in and of itself would take care of, you know, that amount.
Yeah, and so in response to this, banks like HSBC have launched initiatives to help us improve our financial literacy and make more informed choices. And I guess we're going to dive into HSBC's latest one called We Can, We Do. Essentially, they're roundtable sessions that aim to equip people with financial tools and knowledge so they can better plan for the future.
Yes. So if you have questions about financial literacy, if you want to share where you currently are in your financial knowledge journey, and if there's anything that you want to find out more about, actually, now is the time. You can call us 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can, of course, also tweet us at BFM Radio. We are now joined over Zoom by Tara Latini, Country Head of Wealth and Personal Banking at HSBC Malaysia. Tara, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you, Hezril. Happy to be here tonight with you and your listeners.
Our pleasure.
So we mentioned HSBC's We Can, We Do initiative. Maybe we can start with that. Could you tell us more about it?
Great. Thank you, Lynn. You know, I've always believed in the strength as a passion with financial literacy. And as a financial institution, HSBC has a responsibility not just to provide for our customers' financial needs, but also to do our part in improving the levels of financial literacy in the communities we serve. Financial literacy has been a longstanding issue. I mean, you just mentioned the AKPK survey in 2018. And we were asking ourselves, you know, what has made this discomfort? And what we found is that Malaysians are generally not comfortable with their financial knowledge. And this could stem from many different things. It could be lack of access in education, especially amongst the lower income groups, or it could be some people just think it's very complicated. And there's a lack of knowledge out there, and there's a lack of trying to get this information into one place. So what we wanted to do was alter the Malaysian mindset on this. We wanted to ignite the can-do spirit of Malaysians and empower them to be more financially equipped. So the can-do spirit for us means that we translated into purposeful actions for us to achieve financial growth and freedom. So that's what We Can, We Do is all about. It's a rallying call for all Malaysians to become people of action. And here at HSBC, we want to help throughout this journey to support the communities that we serve for financial empowerment with our products and our services and expertise. And We Can, We Do for us is a reflection of our global brand mission. I hope you or the listeners out there have heard us in our marketing talk about Together We Thrive. So for us, it's a call to spur Malaysians to believe in themselves, to do our part in driving those levels of financial literacy in those communities that we serve so we can thrive together in the current climate. And this has always been important to us, but I think now amidst COVID and the pandemic, it's even more important for us to do this.
Right. And what topics do you cover under the We Can, We Do initiative?
So what topics do we cover? So we have today, we start with children. We have a financial guide. It's a play on the financial guide, if you will. So we suggest that we start early with financial education, and we give people advice on how to save through whether it's living within your means, how to spend wisely, freeing up funds, building emergency savings, avoid excessive borrowing, managing existing debt, saving for the future, and protecting what matters. And what we do is we believe that we should start early with our children. So the financial guide is our start with We Can, We Do, because we want to start with children, because we believe that it's the best thing for children to leave is learn as early as possible to start saving. We usually recommend that people start as early as 8 years old. But my kids, you know, for example, have had little savings banks, little piggy banks. You know, we as an Americans used to call them in their rooms. One, we would put their money in if they received money for a birthday, for example, they would put money in one to save for something, and another one, they would put some of it. And we used to put 10% in to donate. And when they got to a certain amount in their little piggy banks, we would donate and I would match the funds in there and they would donate to something that was important to them. At the time, it was always about animals. But, you know, teaching them from a very early age, we believe, especially during the pandemic, is quite important, because if times are hard, as they can be for many of us, it's important for them to understand what's happening right now. And maybe as a family, you know, we need to tighten up.
So we mentioned the AKPK study earlier, but yep, that was in 2018. 2 years on now, I mean, just based on your own observations and what the work that you've done, how much awareness does the average Malaysian have in terms of financial planning? And does that differ? You mentioned, you know, focusing on children right now. Does that differ depending on age groups, demographics, things like that?
Yeah, I mean, we're still finding about the same numbers right now, Ilin, and we're still seeing about half of Malaysian working adults are not financially resilient through that. And when there's this kind of relationship with financial behavior, financial health is not as important, is not as good either, which leads to things even like on your mental health and your physical well-being. So we are seeing some of this manifest into other things in life, such as someone's you know, mental well-being during times of the pandemic, which is why we embarked on this last year, the We Can We Do, to put this information out there. So it was in one place for all of our customers. And actually, it's open to anyone, not just our customers, and as well as starting early with the financial guide, which makes it kind of a game, you know, for kids. It's very young, so they can start to plan their own spending budgets and look at what they would take with them and have them to these other planets and have them start to think about what's important to them in life and what to start saving up for.
We're speaking today with Tara Latini, Country Head of Wealth and Personal Banking at HSBC Malaysia. After this, we're going to be talking about the financial skills that we need right now to maneuver our way through this pandemic and through 2020, frankly. If you have any questions or comments you'd like to share, that number to call is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bigotry Free Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
It's just about 7:17. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Hezril, and we are speaking today with Tara Latini, who is the Country Head of Wealth and Personal Banking at HSBC Malaysia. We're focused on financial skills to help Malaysians kind of maneuver their way through the morass,
yes,
the mess that is this year. And so, Tara, I mean, as we've been saying, as everybody knows, we're still kind of in the middle of the pandemic. We're hoping for a light, but we don't know yet that it's there. And how can people get a clear picture of where they stand right now in their finances in order to plan, really, as we head into 2021?
Yeah, it's a good question. We get this a lot, Lynn, and I think it's important to start by saying this isn't kind of a one-time thing. Your financial wellness, as we talk about it, needs to be looked at regularly. It could just be differences in the market, or it could just be differences in your own personal life, maybe a house, you get married, or something like that. But first of all, we think it's important to set time to do this. And I also mentioned before, you know, doing it as a family where needed. So start with being fully aware of current commitments and existing debts. So sitting down, you know, putting it, I have mine in an Excel sheet, but there's lots of software or even apps right now that help you do this, but making sure to have it all noted down. And it kind of helps you try to visualize where your income is going every month and how much you really have to spend. And once you know what all those monthly commitments are, it's creating that budget and sticking to it. And it's always tempting to go astray at times, but it's important to, you know, we try to stick to it as much as possible. And a budget is usually the best way to track your money and be on top of your finances. So when you do that, you need to look at your debt to income ratio. So how much are you paying out versus how much you're getting in? And hopefully you're paying out less, right? So you have some to save. You got to evaluate your housing situation. That's where people usually spend the largest chunk of their money. So looking at, you know, do you own it? Are you renting? And are you paying too much for your rental income, for example? And something else that we find Malaysians don't do as often, but checking their credit score, check this regularly to better understand what your position is and what your credit worthiness is. So once you do all that, you should look at creating a debt repayment plan. You'll figure out how you can effectively and efficiently pay stuff off sooner rather than later. And look at what your financial goals are as part of your financial wellness check. And that can be different for different people. Yeah, I mentioned buying a house before. Maybe it's buying a car, or maybe it's retirement, or, you know, kids' education. But understanding what those financial goals are will help you manage your finances now so that you won't be caught in dilemmas later. And the idea would be that you save an emergency fund and you start putting aside. I mean, we usually recommend 3 to 6 months. 6 months is ideal, but the more that you can put aside into an emergency fund, the better it will be for later on in case you do need that. And we are seeing that more people are tapping into those emergency funds now with the pandemic.
And Tara, I just wanted to follow up because I think so much of what you're describing is very deeply emotional in a time where people are feeling kind of emotionally raw because, you know, assessing your living situation, being honest about your debt, thinking about whether or not you need to send your children to different schools, all these things are very emotionally driven. I guess the question here is how can people take an objective look at something that is deeply subjective and personal to them in the moment?
Yeah, and it's not hard, Lynn. I mean, it's not easy. I mean, it is a very hard conversation, especially when you have to look at what that means for you as a family, which is why we also recommend involving the whole family. You know, we've seen when everyone is aware of the situation, while not easy, it's you're not holding all that stress on yourself. Because as I mentioned earlier, when you know, financial health will lead an impact on your mental health, right? And the more that we try to handle this alone and don't do it as the family, the harder it can be on us. But I think it also requires, you know, just to kind of taking a deep breath and stepping back and looking how you can live within your means. So, for example, I had a conversation with someone, and this was a colleague recently who has someone in the family that lost a job and said, you know, they can't spend less. And, you know, we went through all their expenses and they're still buying a Starbucks every day. And when we added it up, it was about 2,300 ringgit a year, right? Just based on the work day. So I think this is the kind of stuff that we really have to look at where we can cut down. And one of the other things that we talked about is selling stuff. I mean, I just sold, you know, my daughter's old violin online, you know, and looking at where there's stuff in the household, where we can free up some money that we didn't think that we had before, and really making some honest decisions together about where you just need to spend less. Because like I said, going out of your budget can be very easy to do. And then looking at things like, you know, we talk to people about their loans, right? It's okay to apply for a loan if you need a loan. Loans are not bad, but it's also understanding what you can afford. And for many people right now, they're paying a lot of loans, whether it's a credit card or another installment loan. It's about maybe consolidating some of these high interest rate loans into a lower interest rate loan. And you can not only will your payment go down, but hopefully your interest rate is going down. And to be honest, it's just quite easier paying one off than several every month. So every person's situation is different, but it's about thinking about these other things where we can potentially free up some spending and just remembering to do things for yourself during this time. I often, you know, we were just talking internally to staff about everyone's working and, you know, stressed about money is very emotional and making sure to spend time on yourself during this financial health check and making sure whatever is important to you, whether it's meditation, exercise. I know this probably sounds a bit silly to talk about with financial well-being, but this is all linked together, right? And we just want to make sure that whatever we can do to alleviate that stress, you know, we're doing for ourselves. And it's easy to forget about that during these stressful times.
Right, and we have some questions which we'll go through later. But if you do have any more questions, do call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, Tara, you've touched on some ways for us to approach our budget and so on and so forth. But looking back at that data, according to stats from 2018, 53% of Malaysian respondents, face difficulties even raising 1,000 ringgit for emergencies, yep. Savings. Now with COVID-19, this number has probably increased significantly. How would you advise people to manage an emergency fund at this time while balancing all those other commitments?
Yeah, and I think it's a good question because it is hard right now, especially if your income's been reduced. So if your income is not affected by the situation, then obviously, doing kind of the steps I talked about before is a bit easier, right? And you can focus on repaying the loans that you have or saving for that emergency fund. If your income has been reduced, the goal would be try not to dip into your savings if you don't have to, but looking at reducing your expenses instead and only using your savings or emergency funds when you absolutely have to. But the goal would be trying to plan that budget and do the budget as well. But if more help is needed, if they've been greatly affected by the pandemic, people, there's a lot of things you can do, but people really need to go to their banks and talk to them. HSBC has been offering some kind of program for people that are in financial distress before the pandemic. So it's important to talk to your banks about this and see what help that can be offered. There's other organizations that are offered in Malaysia, like AKPK. You can talk to them about credit counseling and what is best for them. They have counselors that can work with people to develop a personalized debt repayment plan based on the financial means that they have right now, as well as provide guidance on how to better manage some of these finances if you're in a very difficult situation. So once either, maybe you're working with AKPK or you're working with your bank on some kind of reduced or restructured program, the goal would be is that your payments are less, and hopefully that frees up some of your income to then start saving. I think right now people are, what we're finding is we're calling some of our customers where we notice maybe a payment is missed. And I think that they're just, overwhelmed, has really, they don't know what to do. They're not calling yet. They're worried about the situation. As Lynn said, it's an emotional time and it can be overwhelming. So luckily we're getting some of these customers now, but really I just encourage anyone to call their banks or if they can, if it applies to them, to take advantage of Bank Negara's our targeted repayment assistance program as well, which helps people that have lost their income or have reduced income. So those would be helpful to some of our listeners as well if they are having difficulty in paying.
So we have a question from WhatsApp. Meezy wants to know, I think it's not just about financial know-how, but also about earning capacity and inflation, because is it my imagination or is the price increase much faster than salary increments?
Yeah, we do get this question a lot as well, not just in Malaysia, but in a lot of our other markets, we see this through HSBC. And really just understanding where some of those increments would be. Hopefully it's not a reduction. So some people are seeing reductions in salary, but really managing finances against the inflation right now, Lynn, especially right now with the growth looking the way that it is in Malaysia and actually the global outlook, right? It's again, this is not just a Malaysia issue. So managing tightly now and trying to put together that emergency fund or some kind of savings fund now for the future would be the best way.
We have more questions from listeners that have come in and we'll get to them after the 7:30 news. In the meantime, though, we are speaking with Tara Latini, Country Head of Wealth and Personal Banking at HSBC Malaysia. And we're discussing the financial skills, the financial plans that we need to have in order to come out of 2020 and head into 2021, perhaps that little bit stronger.
Yeah.
If you have any questions, any comments you'd like to share, that number to call is 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:36 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Hezril. We're joined by Tara Latini, Country Head of Wealth and Personal Banking at HSBC Malaysia. And we've been talking fundamentally about financial literacy and planning. We've been also asking you for your thoughts, and you can keep them coming. That number to call is 7733 2900.
The number you can WhatsApp at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio.
All right, Tara, we have some messages. So John S. wants to know, you said to involve all family members in financial planning. How do you get the more reluctant ones in your family to address money matters?
I would say just including them from the beginning. Everyone has to be involved and partake. And this is where we see financial situations or families emerge out of these situations better. As you said, Lynn, it's an emotional subject and can be a difficult one, but it's better to talk about it together. And that's why we also recommend involving the kids. You know, so if you're a parent looking to involve, you know, your child in this, it's better for them to understand at an earlier age about what's happening within the family. And we've seen that kids that are involved earlier grow up to be more financially savvy and more financially independent. So it's a little bit of persistence, Lynn, with that. But we do see people coming out of these situations better when everyone that is impacted is involved in the decision making.
Right. And Tara, just before the break, you quickly touched on loans. Perhaps we can take a closer look at that, because Amelia asks, what is your advice to people looking at loans? Is refinancing loans a good idea?
Yes. And I think sometimes in these situations, people get afraid of loans, right, which is understandable. But loans can actually help us. It's kind of understanding how to look for a loan. So a few things with this, you know, look for ones with lower interest rates, right, such as a personal loan, because this could better help you with your monthly finances. If you already have some loans in place, and even if it's a credit card, I mentioned earlier that it could be good to look at consolidating those loans into one. So we do see a lot of people doing that today, taking several loans, putting them into one with a lower interest rate that can actually lower, you know, what you're paying in interest every month, and it risks or it helps you, you know, miss the risk of missing payments every month. So it can help you managing your monthly budget, because then it's a fixed repayment, where some payments can, depending on your interest rate, can be variable over time. And it can help you to fill a void in the budget without, you know, using existing assets or collateral, such as refinancing a home. So if you're looking not to refinance your home and you need a smaller amount, this could help with some of your short-term cash flow. And a personal loan can be versatile in its use. So if you just need money maybe for financing, you know, some tuition fees for your child, or, you know, it can be flexible, you can opt for early settlement once you have funds available. So it's important to look at, you know, fees that are associated with the loans. You do want to make sure that you can repay it off earlier, and that there is no fee, you know, in case you have the opportunity to do that. But just make sure you don't kind of jump at the chance to take a loan. It requires some careful planning, I would say. Consider kind of a few of these factors I've talked about. So the purpose of the loan, is it used to pay for emergency expenses or to consolidate some of your debt? You know, only take a loan for the amount that you absolutely need. It is easy. Again, we talked about going astray earlier. It is easier to take a larger amount, and you want to try to avoid that, you know, just taking what you can. And interest rates and payment tenures, you know, can differ depending on your repayment capability. So look at that. And these need to be considered, especially when you're looking to use your personal loan to consolidate other loans. So just make sure to do your research and calculations before you apply. But consolidating your loans into one is, you know, usually we see that a lot, and it's much easier. And even for small business owners, if you're an entrepreneur out there, a loan could potentially help tide you over this difficult time for working capital or property financing or something like that. And at HSBC, we do offer those kinds of short-term working capital loans up to a certain amount without, you know, any security or collateral, with a tenure up to 5 years for some of our businesses. So again, it's important that to look at that. And if you're an existing HSBC customer, do reach out to us if you're encountering any difficulties with loans, because we can help you there as well, as I've mentioned.
We also have this question here from Mo, who says, do you think that financial literacy is the job of the government or financial institutions that sell these products? And I think that's a really interesting systemic question, because we are seeing lots of different players in the field at the moment.
Yeah, I think it's a combination, Lynn, to be quite honest with you. I think the government needs to help. You know, I think we personally, I didn't get to talk about Teach for Malaysia or the financial guide yet, but we've partnered with Teach for Malaysia, which is, you know, a local to be our partner, because at HSBC, we believe that in Malaysia, you have the opportunity to be at your best. And Teach for Malaysia does just that. They're financially literate and a money-saving education that helps people learn from a young age. So I think between the banks such as HSBC and I think the government and different organizations like Teach for Malaysia, they can provide the tools. But what I will say is that this still needs to start at home, because all of these tools can be out there. But if we're not using them and we're not talking about them with our children from a young age, then it's not going to help. So it starts with us. And we often tell people that you can go to AKPK, you can go to Teach for Malaysia. There's a lot of stuff that's on the internet that you can leverage as well. But we developed this financial guide just because we want to give a tool for parents to help with children at a young age to start, because we know it can be overwhelming. But the conversations need to happen, even if all the tools are out there. But I do think it's a combination.
Right, and we've got a message from Mike. First off, he says, I love the session on financial literacy. Can we know how we use the financial guide that's being discussed right now, and how can, I guess, in particular, parents use the guide to help their kids?
Can I just jump in and say, I love that Mike actually said financial. So I was worried the pun wouldn't translate on radio, but it worked.
Yes, no, it did. Thank you. And I didn't know if my American accent would make people not get the fun part. But and that's what it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be emotional or hard, as we talked about before. Hopefully, when you're getting your children started, it is fun, because, you know, we believe it's never too young to start, and parents are role models for their children. They absorb what their parents are doing and saying. So we believe, you know, I mentioned, you know, from as young as 8 years old, you know, that people get allowances. These children get allowances. They're saving for what they want. So it's a good grasp of how to use the money long-term, short-term, and how to save it. So they start becoming, financially savvy. So the guide itself, the financial guide, is made with a game-based approach. So it's real-life scenarios to guide children in setting financial goals. They have to set a budget when they're on there, and it's to ensure that they're well-versed with the basics of finance. So the modules of the toolkit, they're endorsed. You know, we talked about, is it a combination of banks and government, but they're endorsed by Bank Negara's Malaysia's Financial Education Network, right? So we made sure that there was support in the financial guide, and it follows the central bank's strategic priority number one of its five-year roadmap, which is to nurture strong values, you know, from the young. So I went through it myself just to go through it. I brought my kids through it. The game is really crafty, and it really sits there and lets children make decisions about what's important in their life, what's short term, what medium term, longer term. And I think it's a good way to help kids start to understand some of those trade-offs.
What kinds of questions do the children ask as they progress through the game?
Do the children ask, Lynn? Is mm-hmm. that what you asked? Yeah.
Yes.
It depends on the age, right? So when I did it with my 10-year-old, it was a matter of what was more important to him, as traveling and what he would bring with him, which is part of what the game is. But my 13-year-old was more of understanding the long-term versus the short-term trade-offs, right? Where my son was more short-term, I think. My daughter's 13, and she just said, well, if I bring this now, this is going to help me when I'm older, right? And those kinds of interesting concepts. So it depends on the age, but it does help to have some of those conversations with kids in terms of now and kind of later. And that for me, those were the questions that I went through with them. But it was interesting, just the 3-year age difference. They had very different views on what to bring, because one was more short nurtured and the other one was really thinking about what would help her later on in life. I don't know if there's a gender difference there, but you know, it could be.
Since we're on the topic of children, tell us more about where Teach for Malaysia comes in, and if there are further plans to expand this initiative.
Yeah, we love Teach for Malaysia. They were a perfect partner for us with this because they recognize that building the financially literate and money-saving populace, you know, starts from a young age, you know, just like HSBC believes. And they believe that all children in Malaysia deserve the opportunity to have the best education possible. And this includes, obviously, as we've talked about, you know, a solid financial education. So TFM was very involved, as we call them. They provided very valuable insights and ideas on how to approach, you know, managing finances with the kids. So we agreed with them that creating material that's accessible, convenient, interesting, and relatable was the way to go in with children, to make them understand and apply these fundamentals that we talked about. So Teach for Malaysia actually conducted a survey on the guide with the target age group to test the learning outcomes and also just to get general feedback on the guide, which is some of what I mentioned before. Now, the comments from the children were all positive. All of them demonstrated the desired learning outcomes and have even gone home to talk to their parents in this test environment after about what they learned on the household budgets. And so the element of getting kids to interact with their parents and their finances is definitely there, which was very positive for us. They also like the stories and the activities in the guide. But one thing that they did request is that the activities be a bit more challenging, actually. So we're working on this. So this is something that we're going to improve in the financial guide. And the other feedback that we got was that we needed to have the guide in more languages. So we are working on a Bahasa Malaysia version of the guide, and that will come out in the next couple months. So we're excited about that.
Lovely. So I think, how can people find out more is what we want to finish on, because we've been talking about the guide, we've been talking about the initiative. For people who are keen to actually access it and use it, where can they go?
Wonderful. Thank you, Lynn. You can visit our website. It's www.wecanwedo.hsbc.com.my. Or you can go to our HSBC Malaysia YouTube channel to watch the videos on the personal finance that we've uploaded since April of this year. And last but not least, you can check our HSBC Malaysia Facebook page, where we're constantly updating information on tips and tricks on how to manage your finances with useful reading and other announcements out there.
Cool. Thara, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Lynn and Hezrul. I appreciate you having me.
You just heard there Thara Latini, Country Head of Wealth and Personal Banking at HSBC Malaysia, talking to us about the importance of financial planning and financial literacy. You can keep those thoughts coming and keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.